Hello everyone, and welcome to Charlotte View. I'm your presenter Daniel, and I'm here with your host Claudia Pareco. Every week, we feature innovative, wholehearted, and inspiring thought leaders and businesses. Throughout our high-ranked shows, you and your loved ones will experience an influx of eye-opening information, profound inspiration, compassionate counseling, advanced spirituality, pertinent advice, and loving guidance. Just tune in, live or on demand, and share, share, share. Our shows are held on Mondays and Fridays at 12 p.m. Eastern U.S. Time, 9 a.m. Pacific. At any moment to participate on our shows, please call 805-830-8344 and press 1 to talk with the host. Charlotte View provides the platform to a diverse array of guests, national and international, authors, musicians, nonprofits, social workers, psychics, healers, small businesses, retreats, you name it, who are joining forces to change the world from inside out, from their areas of expertise. If you have something to say, we have the audience for it. All interviews are easily found in all social media and are available free, on demand, for anyone who wishes to further their knowledge and to transform their lives. Host a show and get your name in the game referred as podcasting. Lead with Charlotte View on new media content revolution that is empowering individuals like you, with the ability to globally distribute their ideas and create a following of like-minded fans. To request a show, please write to info@charlotteview.net or visit our website, charlotteview.net. Now, enjoy the episode of the day.
Thank you, Danny, and welcome everybody to Charlotte View, to our show called Channeling the Angels with Betty Bingham and Nami Nesterowicz. This show is going to be a beautiful show about angels, but when you ask people, the general community, do you believe in angels, you'll get very different answers because you'll find those who would say, yes, I definitely believe in angels. If you believe in God, there's no way you cannot believe in angels. And then you have this other section of the community that says, absolutely not. How can you believe in something that you cannot prove that exists? There's no proof that angels exist, and those people decide not to. Now, we're going to hear both stories of Nami and Bevy on how they were able to start angelic communication. Sometimes angels come to your life in a very different way. It could be like with Bevy, after years of self-work and meditation and dedication, that they can pop into your life, or like with Nami, after a near-death experience, he noticed this angelic communication start with him. But there are also many people that talk about when they were little, they were able to communicate with angels, but then they stopped doing that. Maybe they grow, or maybe their parents and society started telling them there is not such thing as talking with angels. We're going to talk about the book that is coming, Messages from Metatron by Bevy Bingham. This is a channel book in which Metatron gave us a lot of answers about angels and how they are the most perfect love and that you can really live with. So let's get now Bevy and Nami to the show and start a conversation. And we're going to start taking callers and see the messages that angels have for these callers. as we talk and have this conversation, please, if you are a caller and you have your own communication with your angels, please share. We love to hear from your stories as well. So, Debbie and Nami, welcome to Charlotteview, and thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us. Me.
Thanks, Claudia. I'm glad to be here.
So, we cannot see each other, so please, if we sometimes talk on top of each other, just bear with us. If this is a friendly conversation. So let's start with Debbie. Why don't you share us how was it that you started communicating with angels? And then right after that, Nami, you can just jump in with your story.
Okay.
Okay, I would love to. So in 2016, last year, I traded Buddhism. I've been studying as a Buddhist for 15 years, meditating. For Hinduism, okay? So I converted to Hinduism. And then I began practicing what's called bhakti yoga, which is a lot of meditation and study of the Vedic scriptures. And so due to, as you were saying in the introduction there, increased time in meditation, I revived my ability to channel and wrote messages from Metatron, How to Find Your Life's Purpose. And then I actually went on to write a second book in this series called 10 Archangels Teach You How to Live an Inspired Life. So that's coming also. Actually, I wrote a third book that I'm working on now. It's called The Seven Heavens, A New Cosmology. So three books came to me. And when I converted to Hinduism, I changed my name from Nina to Debbie, and I adopted the traditional bindi on my forehead, you know, that little dot. And a vegetarian diet, and I'm really living a lifestyle of what I would call minimalism and renunciation. So these changes that I made in my life, focusing on my spiritual self, I believe is what opened the ability to access information from the other side. But it doesn't mean, I think, that you have to be poor or you have to be celibate or anything. I think what it means is that my pursuit in life, you know, can't be money. And so my focus now is on offering something substantive spiritually to the world and just kind of keeping my eye on that ball. So I guess I'm saying in a roundabout way that there has to be a heart change, you know, and you have to open your heart in order to start receiving this information from the angels from the other side.
Nami?
My experience is that I had a car accident, a near-death experience, like Claudia mentioned, back in 2012. And my father had died in that April, and I went through the windshield because Nami was not paying attention to all of the signs of intuition. I was always gifted, always saw people, always heard voices. I heard more than, I guess, the normal person did and saw things and tried to close my eyes and ears to it and became disabled as a child, learning disabled, I think because of not wanting to see all of these things. So when I went through the windshield, it woke me up into a realm of the angelics, but not right away. I was still pursuing, finding myself spiritually, doing a lot of meditation, and gained a son, adopted a son in 2005, and I couldn't do massage anymore. Physically, I was exhausted. So I had asked for a sign, so I put a canvas on the wall with my eyes closed, and I had an angel reader come to my house that weekend, and I was told that that painting had to go to her, and I didn't understand. I just painted with my eyes closed, and I thought, okay, this is going to be goopy. But if it has to go to her, it has to go to her. And I had glitter, and I put all kinds of different paints on it. When I opened my eyes, it looked like a blob with glitter. And my son came down the stairs and said, "You painted an angel." And I laughed. So the woman came to my house, and three people commissioned me to paint one for them, and I still didn't see it. So I brought the painting to her, and she said, you really don't know what you did. You know why they did this to you, because you're a skeptic. And you're a great channel because you have no, you don't even think about it. You're just painting without knowing what you're painting. So, of course, that there's no laugh for you on the angels' part, because they're wanting to get somebody that doesn't believe in this stuff to open up. So the painting was of her and Gabriel in a field. She was lost at 5, and Gabriel was showing her the way home. And that's the exact scene that I painted, not knowing. So when I do my channeling, I don't think about it. I don't ask. I just be the channel, and I just paint. I paint a big, great big painting from 24 to 36 inches in 15 minutes. So I know that that's not me, because there's no way I could paint a 15 or 24 to 36, you know, inch painting in less than an hour, honestly. So my gifts were, I was always gifted with an intuition. I just didn't accept it, apparently. And I didn't have a choice. So they had to wake me up. But they're always around us. All we have to do is ask. I mean, and they will not intervene if we don't ask. That's not what they do. We have free will. But there are, I see them now on the sideline saying, please pick me. I want to help you. All we have to do is ask and believe, and they're right there. Even if you don't believe in angels, just ask, and they will help.
You know, I when I was reading your book, Nina, I read something that Mesothron said about angels and spirit guides, and he says, it's difficult to believe that a force that you can neither see nor feel, hear nor touch is with you. But you can see your breath, can you? And I dare say it is real. I love
right.
that, because it's exactly when you are, what Yunami just said, is when you are in front of something like that, and there's just no way that you don't find it's real, because it's like your breath. It's something that is, it's not tangible, but it is at the same time.
Right, exactly.
So let's bring Julia. Julia is in Florida, and let's see how these messages come through both of you. Julia, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Hello, Julia.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Hi, Julia. This is Debbie.
Hello.
Yes, I can hear you fine.
Wonderful. Well, better to leave the messages up to the angels, or I'm kind of looking to make some changes in my life, and I guess wanting to know more of my purpose, I guess, because I want to, you know, seek new employment, and instead of just looking for a job, which there's nothing wrong with looking for a job, but I'd like to look for a job that's kind of in alignment with what I came here to do. So,
right.
Because I want to find something that's fun but also meaningful, and at the end of the day, it's, you know, fulfilling, and it's like, yeah, you know, this was a good day, you know, I made a difference, so.
Well, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Does your right knee bother you at times?
It's actually my left knee, but yeah.
Okay. That's future. So you're afraid to step forward, is what I'm getting. You
yes.
want to go forward, but you're afraid to.
Yes.
So who's holding you back?
I am. My own
exactly.
thoughts. My own thoughts.
Absolutely. Yes. So I'm getting that you really need to change your thought pattern. Instead of saying, I can't do it, I can do it. You know, positive instead of the negative. I tell people, when you're afraid, make that excitement. And it'll change the whole, it'll shift your whole energy from fear to excitement. And that'll really shift you. But your left knee, you need to kick yourself out, because you really, it's you that's really in your way, not anybody else.
Yes, I get that. Yeah, I just.
So, and then ask for help.
Oh, I do. I pray a lot about it to help me, you know the next step and to help me, you know, like I'm wanting to relocate as part of it too. So I'm, you know, asking for clarity, like where to move to, when to move, you know, because I get kind of caught up in all the details of it.
Like right, but you're asking, and you're asking all the time, right?
Right.
You're asking all the time. Ask one time and believe that it's going to, and don't even ask. Say thank you for the miracles that are about to occur or are happening right now. Instead of asking all the time, they go crazy when people pray for the same thing over and over again. Because all you're saying is, I don't believe. I don't believe. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Does that ring true? You just ask like it's already happened. Debbie, do you agree with that?
Yeah, it's just frustrating. Yeah. I guess you don't. I guess for me, I don't believe because I don't see changes or feel like I'm getting any messages to change. So that's why I have that little, you know, sliver of doubt creep in.
Debbie, could you get something?
Yeah. Okay, Julia. So since you've been talking, what I usually get things in pictures. That I see things in pictures. And then I kind of have to, with their help on the other side, interpret these pictures. So I'm going to tell you what I'm seeing. Excuse me. I keep seeing a little boy, a boy. And sometimes, I remember one time when I was doing an intuitive reading for somebody, I kept seeing a little boy. And I said, well, you know, do you have a little boy? And she said, no, I don't. And I said, is there any little boy in your life? And she said, no, there isn't. And then what I realized they were showing me was the message was about her inner child, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so, and that, you know, she wasn't paying attention to that inner child. But I don't think that's the case here. I actually feel that it's what I'm sensing is there's a missing piece in your life, and I think you're single, and I think you wanted to be a parent, and that never happened. Is that true?
No, I actually am a parent. My
you are a parent.
29.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Does he have brown eyes?
No, it's a her, and she has light eyes, like light
gray.
Oh,
interesting. Okay. Because I keep seeing, like, this boy with big brown eyes, and I don't know why. It's really strong. Have you ever worked with children? Like, have you ever considered working with children?
No, I haven't really thought about it so much. I think if I did, I would want to work with the smaller ones before they get, like, their little attitudes going, you know?
Yeah, right.
Like,
well, I guess what this is about, maybe, I'm just guessing here, is that I kind of get that there's some completion, the word that completion that needs to happen in your life, and that there's a hole in your heart. You know, it's like, I don't mean physical hole. I mean, like, emptiness that you're experiencing. And that a child actually sometimes can sort of walk into our lives and take that place. Now, it doesn't mean you have to go out and become a teacher, but, you know, even administrating with children. But being around children for you, I think, might be really healing. And that there is an empty place inside of you. And there would be a child that sort of steps into your life. But you're going to have to put yourself in that place in order to find that child, you know. So if you find, you know, you go to interview for a job, you might just, you know, see, hey, and, you know, if it comes to your mind, hey, this happens to be around kids, this might be a good thing for me.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good.
Well, thank you, Julia, for that. So,
yeah.
So we're just listening to you both, and what my impression is, so, Debbie, you get these images, and then you're trying to get the message behind the image. And in that conversation that you're having with the person, that's when you many times get where you're going to. And you, Nami, seemed like you were more, I don't know, how does the messages come to you?
Physically, I see a physical illness or a physical something that's not right, that's a block or a void, And we have to fill that void with something that's positive in order for her to heal. And it's in her knee. I said right knee. It was her left knee. And that's future for me. And that's telling me she's got to pull, she's got to believe in herself to go forward. So that's how I see it. I usually see it because I'm a massage therapist of 20-some years and an intuitive massage therapist. So I see the physical always. And they, you know, then they tell me to fill it up with something. So you got to fill it up with something positive. You got to pull that stuff out and put it in, you know, in the physical positive, so that we don't have things that no longer serve us. Because she's saying that she's repeating herself over and over again, this sweet record of I'm not good enough, I don't deserve, I'm not worthy, and we have to shift that so that it becomes a positive, right?
Right.
So that's what I see.
Okay, so now let's go to New Jersey and let's ring Laura and see the messages for Laura.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Laura. Hi, thanks for taking my call. I would just like to know what the angels have to say around me being able to get a stable job, earning income. Right now I'm out of work. I had an interview for a contract on Friday, but I would like something a little more stable.
Okay. What's going on with your low back?
I don't know. It's a little.
I
have a little backache.
Mm-hmm. That's stability. That's structure. That's foundation. Okay. I feel like your heart is closed. I feel like I don't know if you have grief around you for the past couple years. That something happened a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Yeah, I don't. I would say that's true.
Okay. So we have to fill that up so that, because if you come in and you're going, I need a job, it's like music that sounds very sad. But if you say, I need a job, I'm very excited about this job, people are going to say, wow, this person is going to do a really good job for me and my company. But if I come in and say, I need a job, I really want this job, you know what, you see what I'm saying? There's a frequency that's not driving to who you really are, if that makes sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah, frequency, but I never come across like that when I'm interviewing.
Well, I hope. But what I'm saying to you is, let's raise that up a little bit. Be excited about this job. And I'm going to work on your lower back. Do I have permission to do that?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. So I'm just going to, you're going to feel a little bit of tingliness in the low back. Let me know when you start to. You feel anything?
No. Sorry.
It's okay. Feel it. I don't know if you do.
Yeah,
it's very subtle, huh?
No, I don't really.
Okay, it's okay. It's going to be very subtle. Take a deep breath in through your nose, and then breathe out your mouth. And breathe again in through your nose and out your mouth. And let it go. Really, really
okay.
Let it go. Huh?
Yeah, I did.
Did it feel better? Does your
chest
feel as tight? Good. Good. So we're going to breathe in now, positivity, knowing, abundance, clarity, new foundation, a new structure. Thank you for letting me work on it.
Thank you.
And I've got a little something to share here as you guys were working, if you're ready for that. Nami, you said something that I think was hit the nail on the head, is that, I can't remember the way you put it, but energetically, I keep getting a message for her energetically, that
mm-hmm.
you need to do some clearing. What I saw was a picture of the ocean and you walking into the ocean and then like dipping underneath, almost like baptizing yourself. And then coming up and being free, okay, and walking out of the ocean free. So I think there's something holding you back. I think that healers like Nami and other energetic healers might be good at this point to seek out to get rid of some old baggage, okay, some old hurts, some stuff that I saw somebody just piling stuff on you. So there was a circumstance that happened, probably with someone else, and energetically, that you're still carrying a lot of that baggage around. And you've got to clear yourself of that energy of the past. You can't step into the future, right? You can't create your life. You can't be the architect of your life of what's to come if you're still carrying around that old baggage. It's really holding you back. It's really holding you down. So that's what I get. Does that make any sense?
I'm just going to keep going forward and see what
mm-hmm.
happens. Yeah, so thank you both. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
Thank you.
And Laura, something that I have learned, and this is with Nami, with Debbie, is in my own life, whenever I need something, I just ask for it. So I just go into meditation and I ask for that which I need. And people just answer your call, and you'll see it will come from the most unexpected places and at the right time. So
thank you,
Debbie and Nami, for that. Let's go now to California. Let's jump to the other side and bring Rhonda to the show.
Hello.
Hello, Rhonda.
Hi.
Hello.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm just calling to find out if you have any messages for me. I'm wanting, you know, awareness of like a clear direction of where I'm going, I guess. I feel like I'm going in several different directions. And I want to go, you know, the where I'm most needed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, I'm getting something for you right off. Rhonda, you are a super good person. In fact, you're so good and you're such a giver. You give. And sometimes you give too much of yourself. And sometimes it goes to the people who don't appreciate it. But you just keep giving. You're like a giving machine. You're just like, you know, put a quarter in and you get $10 back. That's you.
That's me.
Yeah. And you just, you give yourself out until you give out. Don't you? And so it fatigues you. It wears you down. And so the direction here is to get focused, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You kind of at times take a what I would call a machine gun approach to life, right? Like your energy is all in all these different places. You know, it's kind of like keeping 10 balls up in the air at once. You're good at that. You're a good multitasker. But what happens when you're trying to keep 10 balls in the air at once is you're having to move around a lot, aren't you? And you're expending a tremendous amount of energy. Yeah. So what the angels are saying is you need to get focused and decide what it is you want. Like there's a physics principle from high school that's popping into my head. Let me say this. It says, how's it go? Gosh, this was a long time ago. Basically, if you get laser beam focused, is what this physics principle says. If you get laser beam focused in life, okay, that all of your attention goes to one source, that your answer comes to you quickly then, okay, rather than have your energy in all different places. So they're saying decide what you want in life. Ask yourself, what is it I really want here? And get really clear about that. What do I want out of life? Okay, and you can have anything. That's what's so beautiful about life. Is it is a circuit board. You're the creator of your life. You can have anything you want. So what is it do you want? Put your order into the universe. What do you want? That's what they're asking you to ask yourself. And get really clear and then get really laser beam focused.
Okay. I mean, because what I want is I enjoy helping other people. And that's where I tend to give too much.
Yeah, I get that about you.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's a distraction, right, Rhonda? The distraction of giving does not allow us to have conscious of what is it that we need. Because we feel
that's
that we give and give and give, but we don't stop and think, okay, I can't just give out myself. What is it that I need? So that's what Betty is telling you is stop. And just think about what is it that I need. And it goes for it. What is it that I enjoy? You can give. But you give because you're full. And not you.
Right.
You see what I mean is that don't distract yourself thinking that you have to be of service. Because you have to serve yourself first.
You got to put your island. Oxygen mask on.
Yeah.
First. You know, on the airplane, they say put yours on first, then you can help everybody else.
Right, right.
And the word is not really, and I don't like the word need. It is the word want. What do I want? Because I bet you nobody's ever asked you what you wanted. You've always asked everybody else what they wanted. But who asked you what you want? Right?
Right. Right. Not too many people ask me that.
I understand that. So I went to counseling. It took me 50 minutes to figure out what I wanted because no one ever asked me what I wanted. So the word is want. What do I really want? So you need the clarity, okay, to figure out what you really want. And because you said the first thing you said was, I'm not clear. So you need to be cleared of your own stuff. So what you do is you probably are an empath. You take on everybody else's emotions, everybody else's stuff, and you don't know what you want. So
true.
You need to clear yourself of everybody else's crap, your boundaries, and make your own boundaries different than everybody else's so that you're in your own little box and that you don't have everybody else's crap around you because that's why you're not clear because you've taken on everybody else's stuff.
Right. It is hard for me to figure out what I want because it's very true. I'm extremely sensitive and I take on so much.
Oh, you do. Absolutely. It's like
a
pin cushion, you know? But the pin cushion's full, my friend. Pin cushion's full. So give everybody else back their pins.
Okay.
You can have your own. True. It's a true story. I mean, that's an analogy, but it's true. You have to be your own and you don't know who you are. You think you are all these things, but you really don't know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You were
right.
Told who you were, but you don't know. So don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. Don't take it out on yourself because that's what we do, people that are empaths. We take it out on ourselves. Know that it's okay to not know who you are yet.
Mm-hmm.
But get clarity on who you are. I work with that. Diva, I'm sure, works with that. Daddy works with that. So, you know, you're not alone is what I'm telling you. Okay.
Now, what would kind of like the first step in doing that? I mean, just releasing everything that's not mine.
That's right. Releasing things that no longer serve you, that are not yours. Thank you. And I'm going to do a little bit of tuning with you real quick.
Thank you.
So I want you to take a deep breath in.
Okay.
And breathe that in. And then breathe out through your mouth. What we're doing is we're pulling things that no longer serve you.
Okay.
Sending it back with love. How's that?
That's good. Thank you.
Good. Well, thank you.
And, you know, there's one more. Nami gave you a nice question to ask yourself, and I want to give you one more to think about before you go, is ask yourself, does this help me?
Good.
Okay. Does this help me? Say that out loud for just a minute. Can you say that? Does this help me?
Does it help me?
Yeah, does it help me? And it's going to feel selfish. Okay?
Exactly.
But it's not. It's not selfish. In fact, if you have spent your entire life giving to others so much that sometimes you compromise your own identity, you lose part of yourself, it's time to gain that back.
Right.
So ask, before you do something for somebody else, stop yourself and get in the habit of saying, wait a second, before I get committed here, does this help me? How is this advancing me into the future closer to my goal? Okay, closer to who I want to be. Is this in line with that? Is this, is this in line with where I'm going? Does this help me? Start asking that of yourself. I think you'll be happy if you start asking that of yourself.
Okay, yeah, I like that. I will definitely use that.
Great.
And thank you so much.
Thank you. Allowing us to serve you.
Okay, so knowing yourself is something that is very important in life. And we are in a show about angels, and they are always there to assist us. And as Nami and Debbie just mentioned before, you just call them. Call the angels to you to assist you in whatever is it that you need. And now let's continue in California. And this, we're going to bring someone that really, really likes Nami, but she is eager to try Debbie. So, Valerie, thank you for calling.
Thank you. Hi. Hello.
Hi,
Valerie.
Hi, Valerie. How are you?
All right. Can you do a body scan and give me a healing where it's needed?
Are you talking to Debbie?
You.
Okay.
Yeah. I've worked with you before.
Yes. I'm getting low back for you.
Okay.
Is that true?
Well, more so upper, I would think.
Well, do you have a little sciatic going on in your right leg or left leg?
No.
You have no pain going on. Okay. All right, take a deep breath in.
Oh, did you say tingle?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do get, it feels like a wave going through my body at times. I'm like, wait a minute, how come I'm feeling my blood moving around? That's what it feels like. And
okay.
And then in the upper portion of my chest area, I can feel some uncomfortable things happening there. So I said, well, I better call Nami. He's good. So.
Okay. Well, let's work on the. I'm gonna work on both. Okay, I'm actually gonna work on the whole spine. So what I want you to do is I want you to breathe in, I am, and breathe out, God is. So in through your nose or whoever you believe in. Okay, in I am, and breathe out,
I am.
God is, Buddha is.
Got it.
Okay, so now I want you to take some deep breaths through your nose, going right through your nose. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay, how's that thoracic feel? the mid back.
The mid back, I guess, is okay. Like with the upper portion, I was more can feel.
By the shoulder blades?
What I feel is light.
You feel what? Light? Awesome. Good. And how about that tingly down the legs? Is it still there or is it better?
Oh, it's better. It only comes on more so at night.
Okay. Well, pay attention to that at night, tonight, and let me know.
Okay. Can I call you?
Yeah, absolutely. But you're in California, so don't call me too late.
Right.
Well, I'm getting something about your heart, hon. I want to talk to you about your heart chakra for a minute, okay? That's the first thing I got. And, you know, I'm a Hindu, and so I believe in chakras in the body. I don't know if you have heard about those.
Yes, I have.
Well, okay, so I believe chakras connect us to the other side, okay? It's kind of, think about a bridge. That's what a chakra is. We've got at least seven of them in our bodies, and they just kind of keep us connected to the other side. So what I saw was your heart chakra, okay? And what I see is that there's some closure there. I want to talk about that for a second. You're not a closed-off person. That's not what I'm saying. You're a very open person, in fact. But because, you know, life does what it does, you've had to protect yourself. And so I see like a little bit of wall that at times will pop up. And this wall is keeping you from joining in completely. It holds you back from being your whole self because there's some fear there. There's some apprehension there about throwing yourself into a relationship or throwing yourself into your job. I'm talking about abandonment. Okay, even abandonment to God, abandoning yourself to your spiritual self. So there's some heart healing a little bit that needs to go on here. Does that resonate with you? And then that may be the pain you're feeling.
I think so.
And do you feel at times apprehension, especially in groups? Like that's what I get in groups. Like you don't feel as comfortable in groups anymore as you used to. Or maybe you've never felt super comfortable in groups, but there's some apprehension there. Does that ring true?
Yeah, there is. And can we get rid of it now?
Yeah. Well, let's get rid of it because you don't need to carry that around. So okay, so the angels are ready to do that. The angels are always ready, always ready. And it's just a matter of can we open that chakra? Can we say, yes, I'll let you in there to do your work because they're little surgeons, right? So when you are feeling this heart pain, it actually may not be it is a physical thing. You're feeling it, but I'm getting that there's a closure there that's causing some pain, okay? It's just, so you want to put your hand over your heart when you feel this, okay? And you just want to close your eyes, and you just want to ask your guardian angel, and you want to ask your spirit guide to come and do some surgery on your heart. And it's gonna. And you know what? You may feel physically that it hurts a little bit when you do this, and you may have to do this more than once. Okay, but when this pops up, this fear, I want you to put your hand over your heart. All right? And then you open your heart to the angel. You say, I want you to come in and I want you to fix what's wrong. I don't want to be apprehensive anymore. I don't want to be fearful anymore.
Right.
I want that out of my life. I want that wall to come down. And you know what? There's going to be some tears, too. And when those tears happen, it's going to cleanse you. And you'll feel a lifting of a burden off of you that had been there for many, many years.
Okay.
It's really that simple.
Oh, wow. So we're not, okay. Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I don't get anything's wrong with your heart. I don't get that. I just asked that. I don't get that at all. You can go ask your doctor to check you out, but I don't think you're going to find anything. I think this is a spiritual condition, and you can get rid of this crap. You don't need it anymore.
Right.
And just a little thing, the only thing that I wanted to mention about what Debbie just said is your heart chakra has two openings. It has one to the front and one to the back. And actually, when the back is closed or blocked, you feel pain in the the middle of your back, like below or where your breast traps have. So it's even though the heart we think it's only in the front, it goes from the front to the back. And sometimes the pain in the back of our, in the upper section of our back is related to your heart chakra.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Valerie, for calling.
Thank you both very much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Nice to hear your voice.
So now that we have 10 more minutes for the show, I would love to talk about Devi, your book, and Nami, your books. And here, what I want is when we talk about Devi's book, Nami, feel free to ask any questions. And when we talk about yours, let's do the opposite so it becomes a conversation. So, Devi, you mentioned that your first book, that it is almost out. We're just looking for that publisher that will be the perfect match for the Metatron book. Can you tell us a little bit about what people will find when they read your book?
Sure. Well, let me explain who Metatron is, first off. He's the boss of the archangels, I guess you could call him. He's one of seven archangels who stands around God's throne, and he is, according to what he told me, he's the keeper of the Akashic Record, or what he called the Book of Life, as he calls it. So he's kind of like the grandfather of the archangels. That's how I he described himself to me. So he's the head honcho on what's called the Tree of Life, and according to the Jewish Kabbalah, he's just the best of the best. Okay, and I experienced him as a reassuring, sort of professor-like presence, very intelligent. And I began receiving these messages from him on the second anniversary of my daughter's death. My daughter spoke to me from the other side and said, and all she said was a simple sentence. She said, "Mama, listen for the voice." And when I'd never heard her speak to me in my head from the other side before. And it wasn't shortly after that that Metatron appeared, and I totally forgot that she told me that, and I started receiving these messages.
Wow, that is awesome. And were you scared at first?
You know, Metatron and I kind of had a rocky start, and I think it's funny, so I'll quickly tell this story. I won't lie. He showed me who was boss, like right away. And what he was requiring me was a 2-year commitment of being his channel. And I hadn't channeled a whole lot. And so right from the start, he established his pecking order. And to give you the Reader's Digest version, in June of 2015, he basically sat on me. He sat on me. And the first time he appeared to me, he wanted to talk to me, and I didn't want to talk to him, okay, because he scared me. And I didn't want to have anything to do with this crazy channeling business. I'm a counselor, and I have 3 academic degrees, and I'm not interested in talking to angels. So, yeah, and I was still angry at God for allowing my teenager daughter to die. You know, in 2013, my 15-year-old took her own life. And so 2 years later, I was still grieving. I was still struggling with questions about how could God let this happen? I mean, if God is a God that cares, why would he just let this happen? And then Metatron appeared. And so I was intimidated by his huge energy. I also didn't want to hear God's side. So he sat on me. He literally sat on me to get me to listen because I was literally running away from him. And after we got that straight, then we got on famously.
Yeah, that's an awesome story. And you know,
awesome.
If we're laughing about that, and I'm sure that some people would say, yeah, right. Because It doesn't really happen to everybody. It really just happens to some. So that is why it's so difficult to get grasp of that and think, oh, okay, it's real. But then you start reading the messages, Devi, and you start seeing all the truth behind them. So mm-hmm. what happened when you were channeling those words? Were you understanding what you were getting, or were you just a messenger and then had to go back and read them?
Well, the first 6 months that I got the first 6 months worth of messages, I would just lay down in meditation, and then the words would start flowing through my brain and out my mouth. And I have a handheld tape recorder, and I would just tape record them. And I'm really glad I did, because afterwards I was shocked. Not even more than amazed. I was shocked by what I heard, because the voices sounded very different from my own voice, very different. And I found out later, when I started researching channeling, that there are people who, actually use their voice. Okay, that the other side, the entity, can use their voice, and that's what was happening mm-hmm. to me. And so I was really glad that I recorded it, because people listen to it and go, "Oh my gosh, that's not you." So. That was happening. And then I was getting so much information, and I was having to transcribe it from the handheld recorder to a page, and then I was having to take the page and type it in, all right, to the manuscript. And that was a long process. It was laborious. So I just prayed about it one time. I said, "You guys, this is really hard. I'm having to, record it and channel it and then write it and then type it in." And then it was like, as soon as I – prayed about that problem and that was taking me so long, I started doing what's called automatic writing. And automatic writing is happened for centuries with people, and basically it's like taking dictation. You don't know what's going to come out of the pen, just like I didn't know what was going to come out of my mouth. And it allows you I think to do it a little faster when I'm doing automatic writing. So I channeled this book with both a handheld tape recorder and automatic writing.
Nami, you have a question?
No, I'm fascinated by it. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was interesting.
So, Devi, I did see when people purchase your book, you have a lot of chapters, and what I found was better for me was not to read it from beginning to end, because just like you said, it's kind of not dense, because the wording is very understandable, but it's just mm-hmm. a lot of information. So what I found mm-hmm. was easier is like the Bible, just open or get your finger on the chapter that grabs your attention, and that. Mm-hmm. And usually you will get that information that you are looking for in that exact moment.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm really glad to hear you're using it like that. And I think really it's almost designed so that you can use it like that. There's 30 different messages, and they're all so disparate. They're all very different from each other that you could just kind of like open it and point your finger and see what you get. So, yeah, it's a little bit intuitive that way.
That's awesome. That's how Paul Selig's books are.
Excuse me, Lemmy?
Paul Selig, the I Am Word, his book is like that for me. You just open it up and it'll go to where you need it, because they're channels.
And Lemmy, now let's talk about yours. What's your book about?
Well, my book really doesn't pertain to this segment, so we're not going to discuss the book because I haven't done it yet. But I am working with Cindy Dale the first weekend in December. She will be at my house doing, we are co-creating, it's called The Angel of Miracles, Milagros, and it's Miracles Manifesting and Magic. We will be doing a three-day workshop together. I'm very excited about that. So you can go to her website, cindydales.com, and if you want to look it up and see what it's all about, she's got a great summary on the topic. And I do private sessions at my house, Skype sessions, and all kinds of stuff. But I'm not ready to talk about the book yet. So
okay. So and Debbie, what's going on with you? If people want to contact you, mm-hmm. and what kind of services do you get them mm-hmm. as your guru for life?
Yeah, well, so I'm a life coach in the state of Washington, but I do life coaching by the internet or on phone if you're not near me. You can go to www.debbienina.com and you'll find out more about my services. But I also do intuitive readings, as you found out, and thanks to the angels, they've sort of sharpened me on that. And so if you want an intuitive reading, yeah, let me know. You can email me or just go to my website and you'll find out all the information.
Thank you. So that was devinina.com, and you can find the contact information in there. And also you can go to Nami's Angel by Nami, and you can find his contact information. And you are both on Facebook. So there's nothing easier than going to Facebook and just message them, private message them, and you can always find the help or the assistance that you're looking for with Debbie and Nami.
Thank you so much, Claudia, for having us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Claudia.
And Debbie, thank you so much.
So again, this was Charlotte View, and thank you so much for Debbie and Nami for being here. Thank you, everybody, and share.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
In my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.